Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to say welcome now to the sounds and soul of Cannonball Adderley.
We decided that we were going to make an album called Inside Straight, because philosophically it's where it was going to be. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, period. Formerly, Something Came From Baltimore. I am your host, Tom Bjalker. We're doing another Why Is It Good and Why Is It Personal episode. And today it's Cannonball Adderley, Inside Straight. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Recording of Inside Straight was recorded in one day, basically in a live format. It was recorded on June 4th, 1973. It was the first recording on the Fantasy label. So he did switch labels, and he kept his longtime producer, David Axelrod. In my opinion of Cannonball Adderley is that Cannonball Adderley is a premier artist. He has albums that are listed in the top 20 albums of all time for jazz music. You have Kind of Blue, where he performed with Miles Davis in 1959. Then in 1958, he had his own album called Something Else, which Miles Davis also performed on. He was on fire in the 50s. In the 60s, not so much. It seemed like he was trying to get, you know, radio airplay. He did really good with Mercy, Mercy, Mercy in 1966. He had some other chart experiences, like Why Am I Treated So Bad? Kind of lost his direction of being an innovative, creative. And that's definitely my personal opinion. It seemed that there was something there that jazz artists were making money and having chart success. There was definitely a time period where instrumental music was in the top 40 of R&B charts. And he was successful. He had some success. We'll be right back. the '70s came and he pivoted to a more jazz fusion style. And that's where I was really excited about his career, that I felt that when the '70s came, he darted and got some young guns out there with George Duke, some other artists, and he was able to create some really interesting fusion, and that was also melodic. So it was interesting to see what he was up to. He recorded the album in 1973, Inside Straight. In 1974, he recorded Pyramid, which was great. And then Phoenix, I say Phoenix, but it's Phoenix, 1975. And he had George Duke and Michael Wolff on board. He plays electric piano. Since that time, the 80s and 90s, for 10 years, Hal played with the Phil Woods Quartet. Walter Booker plays double bass, and he ran the 70s, Cannonball Adderley, from the full 70s. And then Roy McCurdy played drums all the way back from 1966 until the present for Cannonball Adderley. Album seems very spatial, and it seems like it's groove oriented, and it also has some surprises. It's very short, it's like 36 minutes, but I do feel he was hitting on some concepts. And why is it personal is that I was, you know, really digging into his catalog and hit a wall for his 60s recordings, and I was like, I'm not really loving this. I thought I would, and then when I heard Inside Straight, I went, okay, wait a minute, I'm loving this. All Music Guide gives it a 3.5 out of 5. Penguin Guide gives it a 3 out of 4. Rolling Stone gave it a 2 out of 5. Amazon gives it a 4.3 out of 5. And that's from people who actually bought the album and came back and put their 2 cents in about it. Inside Straight is a live album by jazz saxophonist Cannonball Adderley. It's recorded at the Fantasy Studio in Berkeley, California, 1973. It features in performances of Cannonball Adderley's quintet and guest percussionist King Erickson. The All Music Review by Scott Yanula awarded the album a 3.5 star and states, after 7 years with Capitol, Cannonball switched labels to Fantasy, where he reunited with Oren Kepnes, and the quality of his music immediately improved. The Penguin Guide to Jazz awarded the album 3 stars, stating that this was one of his live in-studio sessions with a late addition of the band.
Hi, I am am Michael Wolff. I'm a jazz pianist and composer. And then the gig that was the most important to me and meant the most important to me was I was the last pianist with Cannonball Adderley. And I played with him in 75. And under a year, he had a stroke while I was in the band. But playing with him, I had grown up loving Miles and Cannon. Those are my two favorite musicians. So I knew all the material. It was his brother Nat on cornet, and Walter Booker on bass, and Roy McCurdy on drums. And I was writing all the music for the band, and had he lived, the next album was going to be all my own stuff. But, you know, that was a real blow for my career to have Cannonball die at that time. And, you know, besides how much I loved him, he really believed in me and loved me, and I think the next 5 years would have been super important. You know, Cannonball the Man was such a wonderful, loving, enthusiastic guy. I mean, you know, Cannonball, I mean, I'll just say he had some personal demons to deal with, as did many people in the business at that time. In the 70s, you know, we were all into a lot of stuff we shouldn't have been into, and Cannon was right up there. But, you know, I have to say that he was just, he was, you know, I can just be personal. He was so happy with me. He said, "You're putting new blood in the blood." And what he was just open and encouraging. And he said, "You know, you're so lucky you're not hung up with a bebop style." He said, "Quincy Jones and I are trying to get that last foot out of Birdland." He said, "Bebop is hanging me up. I want to soar with my music, and I'm stuck with this saxophone style." And he was really frustrated. So I was coming from a post-bop thing. I came up more with Bitches Brew and Headhunters, and, you know, the straight ahead stuff would have been more like ARC by Chick and Now He Sings, Now He Sobs, and that kind of stuff, you know, more free, and Keith Jarrett and all that. So for me, I was just writing what I was writing. You know, Zawinul was a big influence on me, as he had been on Cannon. So Cannon was trying to get free, and I was so impressed. When I first joined the band, I said, "Well, Cannon, you know, I had been in New York scuffling to learn Moment's Notice and Giant Steps and all the things everybody was learning at the jam sessions." And I said, "Cannon, could we play Moment's Notice or Giant Steps?" And he goes, "No, we don't play exercises on our bandstand. Why don't you write me some music?" He says, "Now, John Coltrane was my favorite saxophonist, but those were exercises for him." So I learned a lot from him. He said, "Play the piano, play what you know all over the piano, and never let anybody tell you how to play." So he would, for me personally, gave me a lot of confidence. And he was a very, you know, learned guy. I mean, he, you know, well-read, had gone to college. You know, he very politically talked about the Vietnam War all the time. And he showed me that if you talk to the audience, and he talked to the audience a lot, he was really funny. Talked to the audience between songs, he introduced the band, he talked about the politics of the day, local things, whatever was on his mind. But he told me, the more you talk to the audience and get them to see you, your vulnerability and your openness as a person, the further you could take them out musically. So that's one thing I learned, and I did a lot of stand-up and acting and all that, so I love to talk to the audience, and I think that helps.
Don't forget to comment on the show. We have a survey at the end. Share with others and let them know that you are enjoying this podcast, and then pass it to them, at least 5 people. That's what I'm asking. Check out thebox.com. They run my show, 30-minute version, every Thursday at 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a chill, cool vibe, kind of cool jazzy thing. It has brand new artists, which I really like. And it seems that I download this app, and I'm constantly looking at the app, going like, "Who's that artist? Who's that artist?" Which is a good thing. It's music creatively curated.
Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being kind to us and making us very happy at this first fantasy event for the Cannonball Adderley Quintet. That's Nat Adderley cornet, Walter Booker on bass, Hal Galper at the piano, Roy McCurdy on drums, King Harrison on conga drums, yours truly, Julian Cannonball Adderley. Thank you very much, and bye-bye, him.
Thank you for joining me today on the Jazz, Blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, period. We have a couple more artists on the Why Is It Good series, Why Is It Personal. I think you'll be surprised as to who they are. So you want to continue to listen. The show is over, and everyone have a great day today, period.